What's up? It's your boy KFC. This is KFC Radio. It's going to be me and Super Producer BC flying solo together like the old days, mail time. Let me tell you about Grand AC, which is a brand that is saving my life at this point. It's a faction of 5-4 Club, which you know I already subscribe to and love. But Grand AC is leisure wear and athletic wear that at this point is saving my life because it's the only thing that's keeping me looking like a relatively normal human, because I've kind of given up on life at this point. And so what's going to stop me from looking like a total schlub when I'm walking around on the weekends? I want to wear whatever I want to wear, right? Well, that's where Grand AC comes in. They got dry fit shirts, they've got long sleeve gear, they've got leisure wear, active wear, and it all looks legit, but still feels pretty comfortable at the same exact time. So that way when I'm walking around just being like washed up and a dad, I don't look like a total bag of shit. You know what I mean? I still kind of look a little bit stylish. Best part about Grand AC is right now, if you spend $75 when using the code KFC, you're going to get a free short sleeve shirt, dry fit. So go to grandac.com. They also have deals for anybody who's already subscribed to the 5-4 Club. And if you use the promo code KFC, you're going to get and you spend $75, you get that short sleeve shirt for free. The clothes look dope. They feel good. They got designs for, like I said, if you want to go to the gym or you want to just bum around. And once again, use the promo code KFC to get that deal with the $75 spent. Let's cook. Things are looking swell. Things are on the up and up as far as I can tell. Things are on the up and up because it's your boy's birthday.
Please tell the people what that song is, though, because I get tweets every episode.
Day. I think we have to, like, pin a tweet or something. That song is just, it's an original composition for the KFC Radio theme. That's what it is. You can find it on, if you go to SoundCloud, search KFC Radio. Search the understudies, up and up. You will find the theme song. And the reason why everybody constantly tweets us about it is because it's fire. Hands down, best fucking theme song, original podcast theme song in the world. So things are on the up and up. Things are looking swell because it's March 6th as I record this, March 7th as you listen to it probably. And I am now a 32-year-old man, which I think
young to me.
Still sounds mid, early 30s. Mid is
absolutely
30 to 32. Mid is 33 to 36.
I'd say 30,
37 and on is upper is old 36. Late 40s.
Is late, yeah, late 40s, early 40s?
Early, late 30s.
Late 30s, early 40s.
So, here I am. And I think this is really what's the coolest part about my job, my quote-unquote career here at Barstool. I guess it's been 8 years. It's kind of getting into that career talk. You know what I mean? I mean, I know people who have had like 10 jobs in the amount of time I've just been at Barstool. No joke. So,
raise his hand slowly.
So, you know, if you've been reading me and listening, you see me go from 25 to 32. 24 to 32. Some shit can go down from 24 to 32, let me tell you. Now, here's where it's crazy because shit can also not go down at all from 24 to 32. It's in that point in your life, when you hit like mid-20s, that's where you start to break off, right? Everybody from like 0 to 18, and then a lot of the people you're going to run in with who go to college, basically 0 to like 22, do the exact same shit. You go to school, you play sports, you do this, you do that. Maybe you go to college, and in college you do a couple things, and then you get an entry-level job. And then everybody's always been relatively the same. Some people are good at sports, some people aren't. You know, there's good, bad, but everybody's just kind of all in the same herd. And then around that mid-20 shit is where you start to be like, well, I'm actually going to be like a fucking rock star at work and make a ton of money, you know? That first time where you have one friend who's like, got a baller job, and you're just like, oh, well, I'm just definitely not as good as that guy anymore.
When he gets that VP title?
Yeah, when somebody, you hear about your friend's bonus is like twice your salary, you're like, what the fuck? This shit sucks.
Y'all know some successful people,
I
huh?
do. I got some friends, some of them smart and deserve it, some of them are idiots and don't, but I got some friends who make bank. And, you know, for a long time, I always felt like I was, you know, one of the people. You know, I was achieving enough, and then a couple people just shoot past you, and you're like, oh, wait a minute, never mind, I'm definitely not as good as that person.
The most frustrating thing for me is when they stop hanging out, because to me, as long as you're at the same bar, I'm like, listen, you can your always lifestyle say, is not yeah. that different.
Right. I try to pull that with Portnoy. I'll be like, dude, we're still sitting in the same recliner doing the same rundown. It's like, yeah, but then he also goes to, like, you know, fucking Italy for fun. And it's like, no, okay, you're richer than I am.
Right. But as long, I mean, just in general, when they stop saying, like, you're just going to a local bar, and they're like, we're going
to do rich
club.
People shit, dude. I have money now.
We're going
you're
to,
broke.
Like, Yacht Week. Oh, and it's like, you're different.
Oh, we're not friends anymore. I'm richer than you. I'm going to drop you right now.
I would do that to a lot of people.
Absolutely. The day I'm rich, you'll never see me again, man. The day I cash out, peace. It'll be Goodwill Hunting. You'll show up at my door. I'm nowhere to be fucking found. Goodbye. No goodbye at all. You kind of all go different directions at that point. And I got some friends who are still doing the single life literally the same, like sending me pictures when they're walking into Flash Dancers. And I'm just like, yeah, that's a lot better than what I'm doing right now. But, dude, we did that for like a decade straight. You know what I mean? Like, so my point being that you can be 22 and you live the same way as when you're 32. If you want to just continue that single route. Maybe the hangovers are a little bit worse. Maybe you got a little more money in your pocket. Like you said, you're going to different places. But you're still being a reckless idiot with zero responsibility. I recommend that path. I think that's a good path. The path I did was, here, let me break down my last like 5 years. Saving for the ring, then proposing. Year two, wedding planning. Year three, right after getting married, pregnant, baby number one, house, baby number two.
You put a lifetime into like 5 years.
And you know what?
Lifetime.
I don't recommend that. That is actually bad. It's bananas to do what I did because there's no recovering from it. That's the problem. Like I'm serious. I'm never going to recover from what I've done because if you have like a bad year, you can bounce back from that. You can have a bad couple years, and you can bounce back. When you have 5 straight years of spending all your money, doing incredibly stressful things, spending all your money again, and then procreating twice, you're fucked. You have become a different person where I was already like bitter and jaded and angry and shit. Now I'm like, this life stinks.
You're like Kobe or LeBron, like when you're in the playoffs every year. You just play so much
yes,
more.
Yes, and people don't
so
factor
you've
that in.
So you got more miles on your knees.
Yes, yes. And there's just no, I mean, I'm washed. I'm on the wrong side of 30.
Yeah, you're like
and
a
I've 42
done too year
much.
Old, 32 year old.
Yeah, oh, I'm like a 62
yeah,
year old,
true,
you know?
Are.
So that's where I'm at in life. It's always, you know, when I was 27, I wrote the initial blog, and we'll tweet it out from the at KFC Radio account. I've had a quarter life crisis, and there are no answers to it, where I just kind of wrote things down about like I here's what happened if you're unfamiliar. I was 27, I think.
Yeah, because it's 27.
Yeah, kill yourself.
Like, kill yourself.
The suicide club, 27 years old. And I just had this epiphany where it was like, all I do is like drink and go out to dinner. And I had just met my wife then. We were kind of dating. And I was like, I'm fucking some girls and I'm eating too much and I'm drinking too much and my job is like really not going anywhere. I got this blog thing going, but I suck as an accountant. I don't know what's going on. I have no idea how to like live life. And the amount
but
of
so
people.
So you were at Barstool then like 3 years by then? Because we're 8 years now and you said
yeah.
this was.
Yeah, relatively
ago,
like, yeah, two, three, however, you know, whenever the calendar starts.
At that
starts.
Point, we didn't think Barstool
no
was really
No fucking
going
way. That shit was just extra money in my pocket that was making things a little bit easier. But I was being so dramatic about what am I going to do? I'm 27. How am I going to live life? Blah, 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 cry, cry. Shut the fuck up, dude. Because when I look back on it now, 27 was gravy. 27 was as easy as it gets, and so that's where I'm at today. This is what I want to talk about. What I've realized is whatever you want to do in life, go to the gym, get in shape, start a podcast, do a new job, travel, whatever it may be that will take a departure from your normal schedule, that will take some effort, that will take some time, maybe some risk, all of that stuff that you want to do, you have to do right now. Because it will be harder tomorrow, and then it will be harder the next day, and then it will be harder the next day. Everything is easier to do when you are younger. If you're progressing at a normal pace at all in life, if you're aging appropriately at all in life, meaning you're going to find a wife, you're going to buy a house, you're going to have kids, all that shit, life only gets harder. It's just, it's, I look back, you know, I'm a total bag of shit physically. I'm just awful. My body's a disaster. And I was always like, oh, I just don't have the time to go to the gym. I got a blog. I can't miss anything. I got to be on the internet. You know, I'm going to go out because now's the time to go out with my friends. I'm not going to waste time at the gym. I don't have time to do it. Now I'm like, oh, I absolutely do not have time to go to the gym anymore. But when I'm 38, I'm going to be looking back on 32 being like, you only had one kid. You had all the time in the world, you fucking idiot. Why didn't you go to the gym?
And that kid was like a little lump that
Sat there on the floor.
I mean, not just sat there. Like,
for a while, all they did was sit there.
Ran around and tortured you. But you don't need, there's nothing really scheduled yet for them to do. Like, eventually they're going to have soccer practice or a soccer game that's going to eat up probably like 3 hours of your day where you just can't even do anything else.
Right.
And you're just like, well, that time's lost.
Literally, they start to trap you. It's like you're sitting at a dance recital. You're sitting at a little league baseball game where there's no fucking running clock. It just, you could be at a little league baseball game for eternity. You're relying on some little scrub kids to get 18 outs? Are you fucking kidding me?
At some point, I actually think that I look forward to that and just be like, I can't do anything. I got to just be at this baseball game. And you got to just, it's almost like meditation.
Yeah.
Just like sit. And
you're trapped
and get it. But the problem is, if you do have other stuff to do, which of course you're going to,
it just
means
less
hours. You're going to be sitting there being like, well, I have to get this in somewhere. Where am I going to do this work? Where am I going to write these emails? I'm just going to be that kid, that guy at a baseball game, just like head down.
Yeah. Oh, strike three. Sorry, kiddo. Like, keep your eye on the ball next time. Some fucking euphemism. It's a scary thought when you realize, because like I said, I look back on 27 and I'm like, damn, I could have done this. I could have done that. Even with work, I'm like, I could have been traveling more. I could have been doing more videos and all that shit. And now I'm like, well, that's certainly out the window, but the same logic applies, dude. You're saying this about your 27-year-old self. You're going to be saying this about your 32-year-old self. That shit's scary because as we talk here, just me and Super Producer BC, the originators of the mail time mantra. You can't
tell people not to do anything.
You can't.
Don't do more. Do
you
less.
You can't mail it in. You can't do anything in life once you really have like responsibilities.
Right.
You can't mail it in. you're not going to be able to achieve anything if you mail it in. That sucks. So basically what I'm saying to you is you can't put a number on it because some people get married earlier, some people have kids later, whatever it is. But, you know, let's say relatively within your first 30-something years, that's mail time. And then after that.
So are you going against mail time now? Are you like, I need to not mail things in? I need to do I can?
No, what I'm going to do is nothing. Like, here's your choices. This is what I'm saying. When you fucking spend all your money and you have kids and shit, you can either stop living the mail time life and get on your grind and be like, well, I have to go to the gym at 6 a.m. then. I have to, like, stay up late to do my work if I want to succeed in my career. Or you can just be like, I don't know, I'm just going to do this shit.
Do you wish you did more at 27?
Yeah.
You do. And when you're 38, are you going to wish you did more now?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's like right now I'm so confident.
Are you gonna do more?
Yeah, no.
No.
No, that's the mail time life. Because what I'm looking at here is the epiphany that I've had. You're always going to have more time and more freedom to do things when you're younger. So do it right now because it's only going to get worse, or just don't do anything. And I choose to do nothing.
About that mail time life.
Dude, this life right now is Groundhog Day, man. It's crazy. You think you're trapped in a cube when you're younger, but you still get to like go out, party, meet new guys and girls, fuck people, hang out, wake up with a hangover, just do it all over again. Like, that's an awesome Groundhog Day. That's fucking awesome. This is like, wake up hopefully at 6. Probably anywhere between 4:30 and 6, depending on how the kid wakes up. Just get ready to go to work. Just get ready to get the kid to go to wherever it is. Go to work. Come back home. Get the kid. Do dinner. And go the fuck to sleep at like 8 o'clock because you're so goddamn tired. That's where I'm at. Like, it's 8. It's literally 8 p.m. And I'm like, I'm going to drink some Z-Quil and go to sleep. Shout out to Z-Quil, which is not NyQuil. It's just the sleep component. It's not for when you're sick.
It doesn't heal you.
It says that it's not habit forming. I don't think I believe that. I don't think I can sleep without it now. And because I just want to go to sleep to get as many hours as I can to repeat my same old ass Groundhog Day.
The worst is seeing people do fun stuff and not even wanting to do it because you're just like, that would take out so much time.
Dude, Hoboken St. Patrick's Day was over this past weekend. I used to live for that. We used to host it. We would open up our apartment and let hundreds of strangers roll through and ruin the place and probably rob us. And, like, people were drinking till they died. And I'm like, it was the best thing ever. You couldn't even pay me.
If I went to Hoboken St. Patrick's Day, I'd be hungover for 6 days after it. My wife would be so
furious. Furious.
And then just like all the things that I would have fallen behind on, I'd be like, well, there's dishes in the sink and there's laundry to be done.
And all of those things ultimately come back to your wife being furious with you. You don't really give a fuck about the dishes in the sink, but you give a fuck about if they're not done, then I'm going to get yelled at. It's an interesting thing to discover, though, about yourself when you're just like, it seems like I can't pack anything else into the day. And I'm going to definitely at least have one more kid and only have like more to do at work. It's just like, I don't know how anybody is happy at the age of like 50. Unless you are like a surf instructor in Hawaii, or you're a bartender in the Bahamas, or you're just fucking a bazillionaire by not even people who worked for their money. If you had to like win the lottery, win Powerball, or you just inherited it. Anybody else outside of that realm, by the time you're 50, you must just be like, I'm out on this life. Because you know what? You're 50 and you know 51's going to suck more than 50. 52 is going to suck more than 51.
What's the age to try and lock in at? I know you talk about aging appropriately, but it's like there's got to be that happy medium.
26.
Where you're like, but isn't that too much of like still the party lifestyle? You can't keep partying that much. You can't. You can't do it.
No, the ideal thing to do is keep responsibility at 26.
There you go.
Like you might physically need to slow down. Maybe you can't party as much. But when you want to be 26 again, you can. When you want to just flip the switch and pretend you're 26, you can do that. That's awesome. Because 27 is really that Club 27 shit is true. For whatever reason, that's the age where you start to question, like, am I going to amount to anything? Or am I going to do... 26, you still don't give a fuck. You're old enough, you know, that you kind of have a little bit of experience. Zero responsibility and not a care of, like, where you're heading in the world.
You probably make enough money.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, you're not going to, like, ever, you know, unless
you... But that's the danger, too. Like, to acquire more money, you probably need to acquire more responsibility. And then, what am I doing this for? Should I have kids? Should I get married?
Yep.
But you should be like, no. Keep your responsibility level.
As low. Keep your responsibility level as low as humanly possible. That's the mantra. I've unlocked this new level of mail time. It used to apply to like how to get to your cube and have people leave you alone and scoot by with doing minimal work to get a paycheck. And now it is this like Buddhist Zen-like philosophy. And it's where you achieve a state of zero responsibility and you are okay with that. And you don't ever question about anything bigger or better. And you're just like, this is perfect. Why would I mess this up?
It is. It's like the surf instructor. It's just like, don't you want to, you know, achieve more? Don't you
want to
have your
like,
own line of surfboards?
It's like, no, I just want to get like $50 for a half hour cash, teach some dumb tourists how to surf, go drink out of a coconut, bang another tourist, and do it again tomorrow for eternity.
This is like, there's like a fable about like a fisherman or something like that who like spends all his time fishing all day, and somebody tells him a story like, you should maximize this, you could sell more, and at the end of the day, you're like a billionaire. And it's like, and then what? And then, well, you can
then
spend
you go
all your
fishing.
Time fishing.
Yeah. It's like he's already doing what he wants. It's hard though. Like if you have any sort of like drive or any sort of passions, it's tough to suppress those. But you should.
You should,
because your drive and your passions will only get you in trouble in the long run. It will absolutely lead to your decline as you start to age. So, yes, what it comes down to is truly mail in your life, because if you have all these responsibilities and all these life milestones occur in a short period of time, like many people do in this culture. They cram it all in. You know, I did it quick. Some people do it slow, but it's relatively all within like a 10-year period. You're doing like the worst shit in the world. The problem is you just can't bounce back. That's it. I'm ruined.
Happy birthday.
We're going to get into some Cubicle Chronicles here. It's brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek, we got the NBA in full swing. We got the NHL in full swing. We got baseball on the horizon. We got March Madness. We got it all. There's plenty of sporting events that you're going to want to go to, and SeatGeek is the best way to buy and sell tickets to those events, plus any concerts you want to see. SeatGeek is a free app that takes all the tickets on the secondary market and lets you know exactly which ones are available and how much they cost. You don't have to worry about any fraudulent charges. Every ticket you buy is guaranteed to get admission, and they're going to tell you exactly how much the owner of these tickets is charging. So that way you know if some scumbag is trying to overpriced, you know if someone's just trying to unload them and they're underpriced. That way you can find the exact best buy for the event you want to go to. So go download the free SeatGeek app. Enter the promo code KFC. You will get $20 back after you purchase your first ticket. At SeatGeek app, go to settings tab, add a promo code KFC, and you will get $20 sent directly to your PayPal account or check mailed to you after you make your first ticket purchase. Let's do a little Cubicle Chronicles. Give me the movie voice.
Cubicle Chronicles, because your life sucks.
Give me the monster voice.
Cubicle Chronicles, because your life sucks.
Yeah, let's do it. It's Cubicle Chronicles. Now, we talked about the last time we did this, we talked about the office birthday, and we talked about the key lime pie from, I believe her name was Cheryl. Today, we're talking about the office birthday on steroids. This is an email from back in 2012 that came from Dave, a.k.a. The Ball is Orange. If you're a Mail Time listener, were a Mail Time listener, you know The Ball is Orange. He is a Hall of Fame cubicle monkey. He lived or probably, I don't know, he might be dead by now, maybe killed himself, because he lived the worst cubicle life I think I've ever heard. The stories this guy had. It was honest. When you talk to The Ball is Orange about cube life, you feel like you're talking to a non-veteran. Like the Charlie was in the trees, you know. Like this is I watched my friends die. ZBT Chaps was interviewing a dude who was he's 92 years old. He was at Iwo Jima talking about how the Japanese soldiers carried swords on them and they would just chop your head off in the middle of the night. Ball is Orange is that 92-year-old Iwo Jima veteran of the cube life. That's how bad he had it. So he emails today. No, not today. 2012. The office birthday is a miserable experience, no doubt about it. An office birthday will ruin your week, but the office baby shower, that is true suffering. 15 to 20 women gathered around a shitty folding table, stuffing their already fat faces with buffalo chicken dip, while some disgustingly pregnant woman holds up a neutral-colored infant-sized clothing because the dumb bougie bitch doesn't even want to know the sex. And it's a 10,000-pack of Pampers, and by the third round of awe erupting from the herd, you will be searching for your desk for a pack of tacks to swallow. And the baby shower diaper cake. Did I see the baby shower diaper cake that Deborah made? Yes. I saw the fucking stupid diaper cake, and I thought about burning down the goddamn office. One time, they had a baby shower for a male. A male. That was the darkest day of my life. Best, Dave. Let's get into cube life. There's a couple ways you can look at cube life. One, you hate absolutely every single second of it. But you just have to endure it, deal with it, go there, punch the clock, get your check, and done with it. Two, you hate every second of it, but you think it's just like if you can't beat them, join them. It's relatively easier to just do this stuff. It's almost like when you complain about small talk. Just do the small talk.
Right.
When someone says, how about the weather? Yes, that's fucking annoying. But you know what? You can just say, yeah, it's cold, man. And then that conversation is done with. It's the path of least resistance. Those are the two main ways to live. When we're talking about the office baby shower, there's a third way to live. And if you don't live this way, you are a fucking pussy. You are an idiot and a pussy. You just don't go to the office baby shower. You come up with an excuse. You just flat out don't go. You go to lunch instead of it. I don't care. You don't go to the office baby shower. That's it.
Are they doing like the full, like playing the games?
I mean, I'm sure there are some people out there doing that. You are a sucker to the max if you're just like, welp, I'm here to do work and make money, but I'm going to take a pause to go celebrate the baby of some fucking woman that I barely know.
I can't understand how this happens because I can't really believe that there could be that many women that act like they're that friendly with each other. Like, you get invited to the baby shower of your best friend. You don't get invited to just, like, some casual
stranger.
Coworker.
But you know what? If they don't do it for the pregnant woman, then that's a problem. You know, then the claws come out and the office chicks. So nobody wants to do it. Let me tell you something. Showers, wedding showers, baby showers. I have never met a girl in my life, that enjoys that. To a woman, I have never met one. There's never been good feedback about a shower ever, even from the person who had the shower, because they know how much they fucking hate going. So you say, oh, how was the shower? And you're like, it was good. We got some nice gifts, which is awesome, but I felt bad because nobody really wants to do these things and nobody wants to be there. It's just because people need to stack up on shit for these awful life decisions that I just talked about. It's crazy. Like, the fact that women have not called a truce on showers and just been like, send me like a check or send me a registry. Here's what I need. The fact that they'll take the time out to rent a place or do this or do that, and everybody's got to show up and play games. None of them like doing it. It's crazy too, because I'll watch like two best friends talk about it, and I'm like, you're pretending you want to go to that shower, and you're pretending to be excited for the shower you're going to have. But I know both of you fucking hate this, because they'll talk to you privately and they'll be like, oh, I got to go to that shower on Saturday. Girls, you're crazy. Guys have minimized this shit.
I love it when girls hate doing stuff too. It's just like
it's very rare.
A brief bonding point.
It's honestly showers.
That's really the only thing that men and women can
share. Only time that chicks are like, this sucks. Like, welcome to my life all the time. I don't want to do any of these things. My whole life is a baby shower. Okay? Guys have minimized all that shit to basically bachelor parties. Maybe, like, I got friends who golf. Like, they go on golf trips a lot. But it's just like, I'll see you at the bachelor party. Yeah, you still go out here and there. You watch a game. But, like, as far as organized events, it's like, once we all agree to, like, do a bunch of drugs and hire strippers and maybe somebody bang some hookers, then we'll be there. Then I'll be there.
That just dawned on me that I think I now have friends that I only see at bachelor parties and weddings. Like, that's
yeah,
the only way.
But that's okay, because that's how it should be. Just like, what's up, man?
That's what those are for.
And like, especially, you can just text me and shit. We can still talk. We're good. Follow me on Twitter, bro. we'll be friends. It's crazy. But girls, they'll just do the shower shit for life. And then the fact that they will do it in an office is nuts. To just sit there and celebrate with some stranger, some acquaintance, some person you probably hate, that a baby will come popping out of her vagina soon, is nuts.
That should be like a fucking coat drive. Like, there should just be like a drop your gifts off for me at this bin that I have placed
in
my
barrel
desk and say nothing. Just keep moving. That's how this guy, this male baby shower,
yeah,
that's how it should be. Like, you're having another baby, you should just place a bin.
Let me tell you this.
Say, Erica Nardini, come by, drop a gift off, say congrats, say that word.
One word.
Say congrats.
Not even the full one. Not even congratulations. Just give me the congrats.
Moving.
The male baby shower.
Oh, we're going to throw you a baby shower. That's what's going to happen. You brought this on yourself. We're now going to have to throw you a baby shower.
No, we will not. We will not. That will not be happening.
We'll edit this out.
All right, now it's time to play America's favorite podcast game. It is 1 Minute Man. Break me off, show me what you got, because I don't want no 1 Minute Man.
Arian Foster thinks he could win a fight with a wolf.
Arian Foster, late to the humans fighting animals game. I've been doing this shit for 5 years. I think we probably talked about fighting wolves on
Definitely.
KMC Radio. I would imagine we probably have done this discussion already.
I feel like it was around where you guys tapped out. I think we discussed it before, not necessarily with the Asa and the elephant, but somewhere along the line, I distinctly remember Fight saying he thinks he could beat like a tired dog. not quite to a wolf standard,
right.
And not even really a dog.
Just a lazy old dog, homeless dog, stray dog. Arian Foster is a big dude. Here's the tale of the tape. Arian Foster's a big dude, obviously in the top like 1% of athletic ability, even despite how he's like injury prone and kind of a bum running back now. Bottom line is, dude runs around trying to evade people like attacking him in some form, and he does that very well to the point that he made millions of dollars to do it.
Canine predators.
So, yes, canine predators are much different than humans. Fact. That is a fact. Here's the thing. Wolves are dope hunters. They roll in a pack. If this is just a wolf by itself, he's not at his best. Also, I've been reading up on wolves. When this happened, I did more research on this shit than I have for any piece of writing or any podcast in a long time. Wolves don't want to fight humans. So if this is like out in the wilderness, this wolf is going to be afraid. Now, if you place him in a room and Aaron Forster just comes at him, then this wolf is going to be like, I'm a wolf. I'm going to fucking kill you, dude. So in the end, yes, wolves are not quite the killing beasts machines that people are making them out to be, but I'm pretty sure that they'll just like bite you in the throat and then you're fucking dead. You know why? Because you're a human who's evolved to not have to do this shit anymore. You've gone soft because we can just like buy food at a grocery store. Wolves need to eat shit to survive.
But you said bite your throat, and Arian Foster had a problem with that, and he said, what, I'm fighting a wolf that knows biology? That's an animal.
Yeah, bro, it's called evolution.
I think he knows biology better than you do.
Wolves
bite other animals in the neck on purpose.
Like a wolf is just going to be sitting there like biting your butt, your like lower back, being like, why is this thing not dying? I can't figure it out. Advantage, wolf. I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and
let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty. Tim Tebow wants to adopt all the kids in the world?
Tim Tebow wants to adopt a child from every single continent and put them under his house. Now listen. I'm a big Tebow guy these days. He's on my New York Mets. My running theory is that Jesus didn't start performing miracles until he turned 30. Tim Tebow turns 30 this August. I am banking on a huge, huge divine intervention miracle type of season from Tim Tebow.
You're banking on a big year from Tim Tebow in the major leagues? Is that what we're doing?
I'm banking on a big year from Tim Tebow
in the
other world. In the afterlife sort of shit.
You're banking on divinity.
Yes,
the divinity of Tim Tebow.
Yes, he's not going to be on the team at all, but he's going to be able to like, you know, snap his fingers and make miracles happen because he has to start following
his
footsteps.
He's just
going to
lay hands on the elbows of all our pitchers when they inevitably
explode.
Yeah,
that's what it should be. Like, Ray Ramirez, you're out. Tim Tebow, you're in. Heal the sick. That's what JC did. Fucking heal the sick. Raise them from the dead. Lazarus, make David Wright a baseball player again. That's what Tim Tebow was going to do. So I'm a big guy. I'm a big Tebow guy at the moment. This whole thing of like, I want to collect a bunch of kids and have them live in my house sounds a little creepy to me. Like Dave called it Tebow's arc, which is very funny. He's trying to make like a human arc. This sounds a little more Michael Jackson-ish to me. Like, oh, I have these kids who want to live with me. I've got a black one, an Asian one, a brown one, a green one, a purple one. And they all like living with Timmy Tebow. Very much in line with a lot of Catholicism's traits, but not really my scene. So I am out on collecting children from around the world and having them live in your house.
I wish you guys nothing but the best. The ceiling is the roof. Let's make it happen.
The ceiling is the roof.
That one. I've been researching wolves and trying to wrap my brain around the ceiling is the roof. MJ comes out at the halftime of UNC Duke to announce that UNC football has signed with Team Jordan, which, by the way, I mean, finally.
Yeah.
I didn't think there was any part of Chapel Hill that was not yet draped in the Jumpman logo. That's how shitty North Carolina football, like, shout out to Caleb. What was going on there, dude? What were you guys wearing? Like champion for a while? You couldn't even get
like did MJ roll through the campus and like just go to the basketball games? Then the football players would try and dap him up. He'd be like,
Nah, you're on UNC
get your wins
football,
up,
bro.
Guys. Get your wins up.
So they finally made it. They've arrived, and MJ comes out at halftime, and he says, you know, big things are coming. The ceiling is the roof for you guys, which is not wrong. A roof is outside, a ceiling is inside.
I feel like that's low expectations.
Yeah.
I think that's just saying, like, you guys got a chance. You could do good or you could do bad. Imagine you get on the mic, you could do good or you could do bad.
Here's what you could say. You could be like, the ceiling, like, let's, okay. The ceiling for some average schmo here at Barstool is the ceiling on the floor they're on. It's just the ceiling directly above you.
UNC
football, it goes like several
stories
up to the roof. It's not quite the sky's the limit. It's not that anything is possible.
You do definitely have a ceiling.
And it's the roof. Yeah, it is the roof of this like apartment building that goes up several stories, but you're still UNC football.
It's like
football.
The conference championship.
Right, it stops there.
Where you'll probably lose.
Yeah, you might win the ACC. That's the ceiling, and that's your roof. There's nothing else above that. I mean, MJ can say and do whatever he wants. It's just how he rolls. The ceiling is the roof.
Netflix doing Choose Your Own Adventure?
This can't be a real thing. I don't even quite understand what they mean. They're working on some technology where you can decide how it ends. Some of the storylines will be simple and linear, like a Choose Your Own Adventure book, it says. For example, viewers might decide whether an inmate in the prison drama Orange is the New Black joins a gang or not. So it sounds to me like they're building this up as like you can change the ending and change the story, where it's like probably they film a couple scenes twice, and sometimes they're wearing this, sometimes they're in this gang, sometimes they're in that gang. And it's if you feel like you've like you're watching your own story when it's like you've just
And I wonder if it's just like side quests, like it's just the peripheral characters that you get to choose.
Side quests?
That's some real nerd shit right
Yo.
There.
Yo. That shit made me be like, nerd, loser.
Absolutely.
Side quests.
The new Zelda game is all side quests.
Where you can just do whatever you want.
It has one main enemy, but it's not really even about fighting that guy. It's like about all the other shit.
That sounds like some hippy-dippy video game shit that I don't want to be in on.
Yeah. Step your nerd up.
What was that shit called that we used to do? That computer game where you tried to bang chicks and you choose your own adventure?
I think it was called Booty Call.
Yeah, but wasn't it, it was like the Romp or something like that.
Yeah, it was Romp.com.
Romp.com, yeah. Booty Call. If you
that
ever played this game,
ever.
Shout out to you. You know about it. If not, let me see if it still
somewhere.
Even exists.
It's
Romp.com. It was the game, you were a dude named Jake, I believe. Yep, you were a dude named Jake. No, it doesn't exist anymore. The Romp.com doesn't, at least.
Those games are somewhere, though.
Yeah,
I'm sure
there's emulators or whatever. Right, anyway, right. The Jake was this dude who was, he was in a quest to just bang
Fuck.
Chicks. He just wanted to get his dick wet and throttle chicks, and you would have to make the decision. So it's like you find a girl at the bar, and your choice is like, do you order her a martini or a glass of wine? And you order her the martini, she gets too drunk and doesn't want to fuck you or whatever, so you lose. But if you make all the right decisions, you end up like smashing her in the bathroom. It was awesome for adolescent dudes. It was like, this is basically, it's like when you can't get laid yourself yet if you felt like you were having sex.
And I think it was right around when porn was really revving up.
Starting to cook.
So, but like you couldn't get it as easily as you can now. Like probably not playing this game. Just
yeah,
cause.
No. I mean, it was like you'd be playing a computer cartoon game and you'd have like a half chub.
Right.
You'd be like, I think I need to go masturbate because I
just
got
feel like
Jake
if that,
laid.
If that came out now, though, you'd just be like, I'm just going to go to Pornhub instead.
Yeah, I'm just going to go watch this happen in real life.
Right.
Yeah, Choose Your Own Adventure. It sounds good in theory, I think.
I just don't think
Netflix
can
is also talking about how one day they want to be able to, you take a pill and you hallucinate your fucking TV shows and you're a part of it. How about Netflix? How about this? Somebody tweeted me this today. How about you just have a fucking shuffle button? Let's work on that. When you open up Netflix and there's like, here's 60 million things to choose from, like it's when you're at the goddamn Cheesecake Factory and the menu is 60 pages long. You can't even begin to decide what you want. Just give me a shuffle button. You already know my profile because you're mining all my data, you motherfuckers. So just give me a shuffle button.
And the dating app.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That needs to happen.
The Netflix matching up what you watch.
There are soulmates waiting to be paired, and it can just be done by a Netflix algorithm.
Dude, when I was in Disney with my family, I got to binge watch The Missing, and I was more happy with my wife than ever. We were watching the same TV show. It was great.
But I think that this, what I mean by side quests, is just like a peripheral character that you get. You
yeah,
don't get
you're
to
not
going to
be able
end,
to, right, you can't
right?
decide that someone's going to die in episode one, and you know.
Unless it's all original programming. Like, I think if there's just one, you know what that is? It's like director's cuts and
yes,
alternate
exactly.
endings.
It's going
to
be
like
sometimes
you
they,
see it this way, you can see it this way.
Right. So, I'm not duped by you, Netflix. You're still just a fucking TV show website thingy that I love very much.
We have to go back, Kate. We have to go back!
No island for John Ross. He does not get to go back.
He does not get to go back! John Ross runs an ungodly, preposterous 4-2-2. That's a full, like, almost I think that's a full 3 seconds after I... No, two seconds after I finished mine in the combine. So, like, John Ross crosses the finish line. 1, 2, KFC comes finishing the crossing line. I mean, that is crazy slow on my behalf. Crazy fast
on his. You
know
when they do the...
The Rich Eisen thing where the hologram...
The hologram,
like,
yeah, the ghost. Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't even be on the screen. John Ross would be finishing. Dude wasn't wearing Adidas, though, so he doesn't win the island. Adidas came up with this wacky fucking promo. If you broke the 40 time, the world record, you get an island. Clearly, never, ever expecting that to happen. And then the dude who does it is rocking Nike. Everybody was like, hey, whatever. Adidas still got their promotion. They got their publicity. What do they care? They kind of fucking care. It's like egg all over their face. You had run a stupid-ass promo, and then Nike just swoops in, talks some shit, signs that guy, and it's like, we're still king. Adidas, you're hot in the streets. You're dropping Ultra Boost. You're dropping NMDs. You got the Yeezys. Comes to football, still king. Nike. Lay the hammer on you. Just like drop the dick on your head. Fuck your island. We're going to get the fastest man alive on our brand. That's it for 1 Minute Man. Wake me up, show me what you got, 'cause I don't want no 1 Minute Man. I got into this interview with Vinny from the Jersey Shore. That's actually technically his last name, from the Jersey Shore. I've spoken to him on Mail Time a couple years back. This time we had him in studio. Rhea is obviously a major Jersey Shore fan. If you follow her on Twitter, she still will live tweet the show as if it's 2009. So she popped in to talk about it.
You said obviously. I thought you meant just like, just by looking at Rhea, you can tell she's obviously
that
a major fan of Jersey Shore.
That too, yes. Also turns out that Vinny loves porn stars, really loves porn stars to the point that he had a lot in common with Asa Akira. So she popped in, talk about that porn life. And we discussed Vinny's new show, but things got a little weird. Your boy Vin is an interesting cat because he has a legitimate level of fame. A lot of followers on social media, a lot, like millions. And, you know, a lot of opportunities, he's on TV and shit. But, like, clearly despises the Jersey Shore with every fiber of his being. And you know that's a big thing with me. Like, I don't like when people are not cool with the song that made them into a big band or the movie role that made them into a big actor. Like, embrace that shit. Who knows where you would be without being Vinny from the Jersey Shore? When you bring it up, you can see him, like, cringe about it and, like, I don't want to do this. It's like, it's like I said, path of least resistance, man. Just do the small talk. People love the Jersey Shore. You fucking got money because of it, bro. And then, you know, he wants to talk about his comedy career and the Knicks. And then, you know, we get the ball rolling, and all of a sudden he's talking about, like, how he wants to see his wife get gangbanged. It's like, you are a wild cat. Some things about you are crazy. So, if you are a Jersey Shore fan or a New Yorker or just somebody who wants to hear a reality TV star say some wacky shit, check out this interview. It's brought to you by Movement Watches. Join the movement. MVMT Watches taking over this world because they provide high-quality watches that are they look good and they feel good. They look like they should be like $1,000. They just start at $95. $95. Poor people can buy it. You don't need that much money to join this movement. How many movements are you part of? I'm part of no movement. The only movement I am, Movement Watches. They start at just $95, like I said. They go up to about $130. They've got leather. They've got metal. They've got all sorts of different color schemes. They've got it all. And they cut out the middlemen, hand along all the savings directly to you. So go to mvmtwatches.com/KFC. You're going to get 15% off your order. You're going to get free shipping, and you'll get free returns if you don't like anything. It's a clean design. I get compliments every single time I wear it. We all wear them here around the office. Barstool, join the movement. You should too. mvmtwatches.com/KFC. Let's talk to Vinny from the Jersey Shore. It's KFC Radio. Got a very special guest on the show for the second time, but the first time in person at Barstool headquarters. It's my main man, my main guinea, Vinny Guadagnino.
Yo, good to be here.
My dude, I appreciate you coming in. It's always good. I feel like doing an interview in person is always much better.
Yeah, well, I follow you on Twitter and everything, and I follow a lot of you guys on Twitter, and it's like a little surreal for me to be here and to see where the magic happens.
All right.
I'm a big fan.
I like to hear that. The flow you got going right now is impressive, my man.
The flow, like my hair?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, really? It's a little crazy right now. I have thick Sicilian hair. I can curse, right?
You can say whatever the fuck you want, man.
Yeah, I hate it, but...
What?
Yeah, it's hard. It's a lot of maintenance. I want to shave it all off.
I hear that. I used to shave my head, and it was like the greatest, easiest feeling in the world, but how old are you now?
29.
Yeah, you're getting up there. I'm turning 32 in like 5 days, and I'm like, if I still got the hair... I got to grow it. I got to let it go.
Right, right.
Because the clock's ticking.
Exactly.
We're a big hair company here. Like, a lot of people are always judging everybody on hair.
I said all you guys look the same up here. I didn't know if it was you or your producer.
All these white dudes. Yeah. All these white bloggers.
Well, yeah, a lot of
profiling
white bloggers.
Motherfucker.
Fuck yeah.
So you got a new show in the works.
Yes.
You and Mom Dukes.
Mom Dukes, yeah.
Not many people get to do a show with their mother. Yeah, not many people want to do a show with their mother.
Yeah, I'm not sure I do either. It happened. But you know, it's fun. Like, everything I do coming from a reality show, like, let me move this mic. Yeah. Coming from a reality show like Jersey Shore, I mean, every reality store probably says, like, oh, I want to, like, you know, be an entertainer or whatever, you know? But I really do feel that I have the chops for it. I do, like, improv lessons, like, for, like, 6 years and do stand-up and podcasting and stuff. So I really do believe in myself in that regard. And every project that I do that's like this, it kind of, like, legitimizes
for sure.
me a little more, because it's, like, a real thing, you know? And we don't talk about Jersey Shore on the show, which is about taking my mom around the country and trying food. That's like, I don't know why I just gave that like business insider Hollywood answer. But the real premise of the show is that my mom, she immigrated here from Sicily when she was like 10, and she's never left Staten Island before.
Right.
A lot of people can relate to their mothers and immigrant mothers, like, not wanting to go anywhere or try new things. So it was really fun with still being a traditional traveling food show.
I got you. So yeah. She's doing the bulk of the cooking here?
No, so we
you
go.
Dabble too?
No, what happens is we go around to all these different states in the country, and you know, we try out some. See, weird food to me is a higher standard than it is to her. Like, to her, sushi is weird. To her,
yeah, of course.
You know, she's never had like ranch dressing before, right. I swear. So me, like, you know, but we also along the line, like in San Francisco, we ate bug tacos.
No thanks. Yeah, pass. Dude. Hard pass on that one.
It's like a sustainable form of protein that they're trying to bring back. That, like, actually, I think like 80% of the world eats insects.
Dude, yeah. I'm happy to be in the 20%. Yeah, is it gross?
You know, like at first when you're eating it, it kind of tasted like a seed. Because okay. They're all like little, like, I don't know, like, why they all have to look like, they're like larvae, so look like worms. Yeah.
Dude, they're absolutely not. This is how you end up with like maggots growing inside you and crawling out of your ears.
Nah, but yeah, so it was okay in like one little bite or two, but then when she stuffed it all in one taco and I saw the worms like spilling out of it, that's when I was like, yeah, nah. I mean, they're not alive.
I know, but still, I'm not trying to just do like a yeah. whole mouthful of bugs.
Nah, exactly. So that was fun. And then we had
did she eat that?
She had like she does this thing where she like takes like if you have a taco, she'll have like this much
yeah,
of the corner
tiniest
of it.
Little bite. Yeah.
Yeah, it probably doesn't have anything in it. But it's like this big dramatic thing for the show. But and then we had Rocky Mountain oysters. I don't know if you ever had those. Those
no,
are
good.
Bull testicles.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah,
Christ.
They're fried bull testicles and they're cut up. They kind of look like calamari, like they're like
okay.
breaded and stuff. So I feel
you fry and bread anything, I'll fucking eat
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Tell me after the fact.
Yeah, yeah. It's a cheat. So but I ate that, so it was cool. But yeah, I'll eat anything.
So, traveling with your mom, staying with your mom, I mean, it's a lot of mom time.
Yeah.
And, you know, you were very, things were very open on the Jersey Shore. You said you're doing stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
You probably, you know, you're living two very different lifestyles when it's like Vinny by himself, Vinny with mom.
Yeah. And I think that's like kind of like my appeal to like the world, you know, is where I could kind of have a show on Cooking Channel. And I don't know why, like from Jersey Shore, moms like love me. Like like older women like in their 80s, like they were Vinny fans. I think
I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know.
I think like relative. Fuck it, I'll use it. But
hey,
I think
if you
like,
can get yourself a TV show yeah. on the Cooking Channel, fuck it.
Yeah, nah. I think like I was always the guy that like girls brought home
right.
on Jersey Shore, but like still had dignity afterwards.
Okay,
like it wasn't
like not full blown regret after the fact.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was like their dad used to like tap him on the shoulder, like good job, girl.
I don't know about that, bro.
Maybe not. But relatively speaking, if he had to pick one,
yeah, yes, right.
You know,
I mean,
he'd be like, Vinny, go bang my daughter. if he had to pick one,
I would listen. I'm a father now myself. If I have to pick from the lot, yes.
Oh God!
But
it's getting awkward.
We are lower. We are getting the bar real low here, Ben.
Listen, it was a big show, and
dude,
that was on people's minds. Like,
it was
which one, you know,
a phenomenon. Yeah. It came out right around the time we started the blog, and I remember none of the other guys really knew like I grew up in New York. I had high school. It was Guido's. I knew that life. To the rest of the country, and you guys were aliens.
But that's what made it appeal to everybody, because you were like, oh, I want to watch this because let me see what these fucking idiots who I know
I can,
of.
I can relate.
I can relate to them. And then other people were just like, this is like outer space.
It was like National Geographic.
Yeah, like, what is going on? Like, what
watch
language?
The zoo. Yeah.
What language are they speaking? What is that fashion, you know? It was like the Hunger Games. Like,
yes.
You know,
it was
like,
yeah, man. It was the Hunger Games with just like some STDs mixed in and
yeah,
shit like that.
Yeah, exactly. The herpes games.
The stand-up comedy, though, that's interesting. I mean, I've done a couple live podcasts. I've never really just done, you know, a microphone and me standing up there. Mm-hmm. Even just hosting a live show is nerve-wracking as fuck.
It is, but, I mean, I've done improv before I did stand-up, and that's honestly more what I love to do is improv, because I'm kind of lazy, and there's kind of like a magic of, like, you don't have to be prepared.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like the off-the-cuff, especially, I never did a live podcast, but that's my next step. But, yeah, stand-up, for me, it's totally hard, because I'll get, like, a job offer to, like, host a show where I have to do stand-up, and, you know, I'm a comedy nerd, and I understand more than anybody that it takes like 20 years to even be remotely comfortable on stage.
Right.
And now it's like you have people expect you. They're like, you have a name, make me laugh.
Yep.
And I'm just like, yo, I just started. I might as well be the fucking guy next to you on the street. The fact that I do well is amazing. Like, and that's I'm not my own worst enemy. The fact that like I can like hold just a complete set together for 10 minutes after never doing it. You know, I mean, that's what gives me confidence.
Yeah, I've always kind of felt that, like, I would like to try to do more in the live comedy space, but now that the Barstool name is behind it, people have, like, this level that they expect, and I'm like, I'm not even close to there yet. So I need, like, I would love to maybe do it on the side, some very, very small venues where it's not going to be publicized and whatnot because they expect too much.
Once you're in, like, look, we can go to, you know, and I can go to, like, these little comedy clubs around the city, and sometimes I go and I chill with friends, and I'm like, let me hop up there. There's, like, four people in the audience. I love those. Like, that's how you get used to it.
Even that, though, sometimes I feel like that's, like, a little more awkward. Like, there's so few people that
there's a fine,
if they don't laugh, it's like dead silence.
There's a fine number that kind of makes it awkward or not. Like three people, like you just don't give a fuck.
Right.
You're just, you know, like they have stand-up comedy in like coffee shops sometimes where no one's even listening.
Right, they're just in and out.
But you're just up there like practicing,
That's the main thing. Like you said, you just need to do it over and over again.
Yeah, but then once you like start publicizing shit and like now it's like amazing, like it has to be good.
Yes, I hear that.
I did my thing that I did on Gotham. It was called a Gotham Comedy Live on Access TV, and I got it. It was a good job. I couldn't say no, and it was a challenge to myself. But it was a pretty good set. Like it wasn't bad. Like I think you would see it, and you would be like, "All right, I didn't bomb."
Right.
But like I was like kind of cringing for myself. Like that's my impersonation
of a stand-up comedy.
Of a stand-up comedy.
Right. Because you haven't
found who I am.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I
do love it. I would love to keep doing it.
We were lucky enough to even be in a position to sell tickets, and it was like people are paying money; they expect a good product. And now the podcast thing.
What is the audience like? Because I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to you on. I think you were on Carolla's show, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he does a ton of live podcasts. I listen to those sometimes. But what is the vibe of the audience like? Are they looking for like laughs per minute?
Yeah, so that's what's weird is that some people will do a live podcast and it'll just be a conversation, and if you laugh, you laugh, and if not, you just came to like we're going to record this podcast, you get to watch the behind the scenes.
And they're okay with that.
I don't feel that way. I feel like other podcasts do that. I feel like my regular show is a conversation where we have some funny dudes, so there are funny moments. When I did a live show, I wasn't like writing jokes, but I was like, here, we're going to put this picture up on the screen. We're going to run this video because it's going to be entertaining. And like, I know that these two are going to argue and that's going to be funny. So I'm going to kick it. I'm thinking about how to get the laughs, not just we're going to do it and see what you think. Because again, when I feel like people are paying like $30 to come out, it's like they expect a somewhat of a polished show.
Well, first of all, I don't know if they even know what to expect. That's the scary part, because they might expect to laugh, and now you're like, oh, fuck, like, I didn't, you know, this is just a podcast. So,
yeah.
Because they're in a comedy club. That's my whole thing, too, is, like, once you put me in front of, like, this office right now, I'll probably, like, make a couple people laugh. But
for sure.
Once people are in a comedy club, they have, a whole other mindset, a whole other expectation of how much laughs they should be
doing. Yeah, but
sometimes
I think there's people who are the opposite, who are, like, they're there to laugh. So it's almost the bar is lowered.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I think you're going to get both.
You could think of it both ways. Yeah. You could be like, make me laugh, so this live podcast thing isn't working. Or you could be like, hey, anything will make me laugh tonight.
Yeah, you got a couple drinks in you, and you're here to have some fun.
I always tell new comics, like when I go up there, it's not this thing like you see on TV where it's like, I'm going to just bomb right away. People are kind of on your side.
Right. They want to be having fun. They want to laugh.
For the most part. But yeah, I was just wondering like what the vibe was like.
I mean, we also do shit. Like we have t-shirt guns, and we're blasting them off.
Yeah, because you know what it is? You don't ever want to feel yourself losing the audience.
Yeah.
And
right.
If you're just, me and you are just having a conversation right now, it may be the most intriguing conversation in the world, but you can feel that shit.
Yeah.
Right? Like energy.
Yep.
So, you know, the t-shirt thing or showing a video.
Kind of restarts it.
Yeah. Everyone's just like focused. You know?
I interact with the crowd a little bit. There's a few hecklers,
that
whatever.
Always gets them back.
Yo, what's funny is I used to watch comics and like they pick on someone in the front row, and I was always like, you know, that's kind of fucked up. And then when I did it a couple times, it kills. People love it. And so it's an easy gimmick, you know?
It's all about balls doing crowd work. If you have the balls to sit there like and give it like, you know, three back and forths, which I'm scared still to this day of like, it's like jumping in a pool. Like you have to jump in, you know?
Yep.
You can't just like tiptoe. I remember I first started, I would tiptoe and I'd be like, hey, how you doing? Like that's not enough.
No,
one's gonna.
You gotta make
fun of
them.
Like, where are you from?
Yes. Yeah.
What is your name? What, you know? You gotta ask questions. And if you give it that time, like it'll always pay off.
Yeah. No.
Somehow
I hear that.
it'll always pay off.
I mean, there was one girl that I was like pretty much crushing because she was just sitting in the front row and looked like miserable the whole time.
Yeah.
And afterwards, she was like, "Oh, I was actually having a great time. I loved it. I loved the banter." So even when I thought like I was kind of crossing the line, I was it ended up being all good.
Oh yeah, it works. So.
So listen, you were alluding to Jersey Shore earlier.
Yeah.
I know it's not your favorite topic, but we got a girl in the office here. Her name's Rhea,
who is a
diehard. we'll bring Asa and Rhea in here because Rhea is like she loves Jersey Shore. She said, now we've had some people come through here. She said this is like the biggest name for her. She's the most starstruck.
But that's why, like even A-list celebrities, when the show was on, wanted to talk to us because it was a different kind of connection that you make with people.
Right.
I don't connect with fucking Jake Gyllenhaal.
No way.
I love him as an actor, but I don't like connect.
You don't see what he's like as a real person.
Right. Or feel like I know him or something.
Right.
And people don't even know my whole personality, but they feel that they do. But that's kind of what happened. You know.
So here in comes Asasut here. Maria, she goes by Rhea here. This is Vinny.
Nice to meet you.
Asa, it turns out that Vinny says he knows a lot of your coworkers, probably.
I think I knew that you know a lot of people.
Yeah. Oh, God. Let's not name names.
We're a very small community. Yeah. I hear your name quite a lot.
Yeah.
Oh,
do
boy.
Do I have to wear these?
You don't have to.
I'm gonna join the crew.
Jump in.
Why were you holding a chinchilla when I walked in?
We have an office chinchilla.
Oh, really?
And it was my turn to hold it.
Yeah, we have a dude who's he's trying to be like Barstool Outdoors, wants to be a animal guy.
Okay.
Not really sure where that's gonna go yet, but it's so far resulted in a chinchilla.
In the city, like with just pigeons and shit.
Yeah, it's not really the best place for the outdoors, but shout out to
the pigeons. It's also a nocturnal animal that we keep playing with during the
day.
We're actually torturing this.
I'm also allergic to it. I'm gonna put that in there. Yes, I'm very allergic to it.
So it's working out well.
Yeah.
All right, so we were talking earlier about Jersey Shore and how it was an absolute phenomenon.
Yes,
it was more than just reality TV, and you are like the poster child, Rhea, for it because you are geeking out.
I'm not from the Jersey Shore. I'm from Long Island, so I'm going to point that out. But I am a Jersey Shore fanatic, and I just want to ask you a few questions.
Sure.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if it's okay. With
Right. I told she says she has three questions
needs
to get.
Three questions. First question, who wrote the note?
The note.
Who wrote the note?
Nicole and Jenny wrote it.
And okay.
Yeah. This is like
this
I'm forgetting
life?
This shit too. I haven't
is
heard that
real
in like
life?
Years.
Like they wrote that note.
Yeah, they wrote it. It went to a cyber cafe and they wrote a note because we didn't have computers in the house.
And what was your feeling about that when that happened?
I don't fucking know.
She live tweets this shit daily.
Yeah.
Still.
No, I do. Like I still rewatch Jersey Shore and live tweet it as if it's back in the day.
Wow, I like that.
Okay.
So what was the question? How did I feel about it?
Yeah,
I felt
like,
very
who wrote the
strongly
note and
about it. I don't know.
Were you like taken back by it? Like, did you think that was a good idea?
No, I don't. I really didn't give a fuck. Actually, I was like just trying to get through it and have sex with someone that night.
All right, we'll move on to the second question.
Yeah.
Did we ever find out who Sammy was texting?
I don't even remember what she's talking. Yo, she knows more about this shit than I do.
It's your life, and she knows more about it.
I do.
What are you talking about? Which one?
Jim Tam find out who Sammy's texting.
Oh, man. Okay, maybe you're referring to that guy named Arvin.
Yes, yeah. you go.
Do you see that guy? Do you know who that guy is now?
No.
You know that company on Instagram, Shreds, that you see everywhere and all like the Instagram girls posing with it? He's like the CEO of that company.
Oh, so Sammy fucked up.
Sammy should have rolled with Arvin.
Sammy should have been texting Arvin.
Yeah, but I don't know. This, I don't know if he has money. I think it's all a facade or something.
Right.
Like an Instagram thing.
Is it like Fit Tea? Or like flat tummy?
Yeah, it's
one of those
things.
One of those.
Yeah.
Like products that, you know.
How many people have mentioned your hair since you've been here?
One.
Yeah, I
of course.
So. You have amazing hair.
He doesn't like it. He says he's going to shave it off.
No.
Really? Thank
this
you.
Company is obsessed with
great
male
flow.
Hair.
I opened up the interview. I was like, you got great flow. He's like, what does that mean, my hair? I'm like, yes, of course it means your hair.
Did you dye it?
No.
All
it's
natural.
Just let you
it's
darker.
So
thick.
Much of I know.
It.
It's hard.
I have
it's
one
hard.
Last question. It,
what?
Okay. So you were on a show about muscled tan Guidos, correct? What was it like not being necessarily tan or muscled?
That's a good question. Well, I'm actually here. I have a show with my mom called Vinny and Ma Eat America, and I think it was because I was that guy that it kind of like is letting me do jobs like that now, you know, like more like legitimate things.
He
and,
said that
things.
Like 80-year-old women loved him from the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, so you're not doing like steroid ads. You're doing like you're cooking now.
Yeah, I'm cooking and, you know, doing like steroid ads. Do they have those? Yeah.
Take this testosterone.
No, but I was. We should ask her the question if she agrees of that. Like I said that I was probably if a man had to pick for his daughter, which cast member to sleep with?
It would be you.
It would be me, right?
You know, exactly.
He said that you could out of everyone. The girls that would leave would still have a little bit of dignity.
Like when
they'd be proud
when
of
I
it.
Do,
they wouldn't feel ashamed.
I'm going to be very honest. Every proud. Time I do Instagram Live, someone gives me a marry, fuck, kill Vinny,
of the Jersey Shore.
Vinny Pagliarani. Wow. And I always Big stick Mary. With marrying Vinny. Like not in a weird way, but just because I would leave with the most respect.
That's it. Rio wants
like.
To marry
you. Know
you.
What's funny too? I've been in that position where like I've missed out on getting girls like where Mike or just another Mike-like friend would get laid that night, and I don't, and I'm just, like, in the corner, like, just upset at myself, because I'm like, should I be more of, like, a dick or a douchebag, you
yes,
know?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the answer.
There's
the
no,
answer is absolutely
there's
yes.
There's no, like, no,
when
like,
Mike,
you.
When
right.
Mike
no,
I literally just, like, took just, your girl.
I feel
yeah.
like
a specific
another
episode.
Another one I don't remember. But, yeah, that's
oh,
true.
I
that's
remember.
How it goes, man.
That's
you
true,
should be.
True.
We talk about this all the time. You don't, like, it's not the best, like, listen, if you can get laid without doing that, that's the way to go. But if it works, if
I
works.
Think you're just saying that to get laid. I think this is your
oh,
game.
I'm
oh,
the innocent
like
one.
A double.
No.
Also,
okay.
The whole the show with your mom, that's yeah. a very good
to get
move.
Laid.
I mean, like,
she's a great
I'm
wingman.
Into it.
She's a great wingman.
I'm
bitches
innocent. I
love
like
my
a
mom.
True.
Yeah. Bitches love food.
It's the ultimate, like, you know, when like Leo takes his mom to the Oscars.
Yeah, I hear that.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah,
the guy
it's a
does
little
love
more.
His mom.
I have like a fucking. It's a full blown
no,
TV
more.
Show, so it's a
it's
lot.
A lot more.
So
it's
you're
a lot
actually
more.
Sicilian.
Yes, but to answer, hold on. To answer her question first. Oh well, her accusation. I do get laid from that.
The sensitive angle.
Later on, it does like a payoff, but in the, I'm talking about
it's like a long con.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm talking
right.
about in that moment
right,
though.
Right,
we're all
right.
drunk. There's three of us at the bar, and who's the girl going home with? Like
right.
a lot. Sometimes it's not me in that moment.
Right.
But then, like, I'll have, like, a crazy threesome.
With a couple porn stars, apparently.
Yeah, like, 4 weeks later. And I'm like, and I'm like good.
Threesome.
I'm glad.
I
fuck you.
Ooh, Asa's
yeah.
been left out
I
of the
wonder
like,
who
Asa.
It is.
There's been a couple of.
I
don't know about
can
it.
Can you take
are,
a guess?
Are you upset that you haven't banged Vinny?
I mean, I've been married for a long time.
You're washed up.
I'm always jealous when someone else is fucking anyone.
Yeah,
that's true.
Are you done with porn though?
Oh
no,
she's
no.
very
I'm,
much thriving.
I'm very much okay. in
so
porn.
Are you not allowed to have sex with people outside
no.
of porn?
No, is that an offer? Because
no, I'm asking.
This is escalating.
No, yeah, they it's.
I have
no,
so many
yeah,
porn star friends. I talk about this like it's. Like you, your podcast, you know, like you know,
yeah,
whatever
we talk
you
about
do.
It all the time. She, you're anybody on camera, it's all good.
I
still tell her I never understand it, I never will, but
I think I know a
you.
Recent one that you were hanging out with, actually.
Which one? Who?
I mean, I won't say.
Okay,
like
thank you. Listen, I'm not that guy. Oh. Like, if you said it, I would rock with it, but thank you.
I love when you get someone to come in to plug their show with their mom, and they end up talking about which porn stars they hooked up with.
From their mom. Like, from having a cooking show with their mom.
Wait, I want to know who the threesome was.
This is my life. it probably wasn't a... I never had, like, a proud porn star threesome. Like, you know, like where it was like two
just
like household
very degrading,
names.
Shameful ones.
No, that's, I would be proud
those
of that.
Those are the best ones.
Yeah, those are the best. The best I'm talking kind of about porn. The names. The names are probably like they've done like three videos and shit.
Oh,
you know?
Okay, yeah.
Or like when you go to Pornhub, like you, or X videos, like you type in the name and then it says like this person has 500 videos and it's just the same clip cut
over
up
and over.
Into
yeah,
different
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. Like,
I'm very well aware of that.
I'm
yes.
like, fuck that. This is a scam.
You're not a real porn
You're
star.
You're not a real porn. You have one video cut
I'll
up.
I'll still have sex with you, but I'm not going to be proud of it.
Yeah. I'm my proudest threesome.
I'm taking you home to mom. We're going to do some cooking.
Yeah. My mom would. That's another thing, though. She's so funny. Like, I've, you know, she's met girls.
Porn stars, Vincent? Porn
she
stars?
Porn stars? I don't think she's met a
we
full
do
porn
remember
star.
The basement show.
The show with Vinny?
Yep.
No porn stars roll through there. I mean, that's MTV. I would have, but, you know. But yeah, it's awkward. It gets awkward. But
I
that's my
that,
life,
man.
Though. Yeah.
You live in two different worlds.
But listen,
I do
that's
all the time.
That's me, my personality. I can talk to you about anything. I can talk about porn 1 second. I can talk about with an 80-year-old woman about fucking fettuccine alfredo, and
right.
then you know about the Knicks. You know,
I like
so.
The way you say fettuccine.
Fettuccine.
Oh, he dropped calamata on me before.
Can you? Yeah,
do you say mozzarella?
It's not calamata.
No. Calamata.
Don't listen to these guys. Okay. They're,
let the guinea speak.
I'm Sicilian.
Oh yeah, she can talk too. No, tell him the one thing you know in Italian.
Puttana disgraziata che sei.
Bitch, disgrace, you are.
Yeah. Great, disgraceful whore.
Well, no, like when they say mozzarella and shit, that's like a Brooklyn Italian person.
Oh, so how would you say it?
Mozzarella.
Yeah, you have to
mozzarella.
Say the A at
it's
the end.
It's mozzarella.
No, it's mozzarella. I've learned
it's
that.
Marinara.
It's actually mozzarella.
It's marinara and mozzarella. Yeah.
Marinara.
That's what I
And
say.
It's not calamad. Well, you're just taking off letters of the word. It's calamari. I'd rather a super American person say calamari than calamad. At least it's
calamad. Hey, oh, yeah. Guadagnino. Calamad.
Oh, how's Uncle Nino?
He's good. I don't really. I try not. I have small doses with him. No. Yeah, we're fine. But he's just annoying.
We got plenty of those around here, so I know that feeling. All
right, so all right
man. I
Are
appreciate you. Yeah, you want to
so
keep going?
Yeah,
we can talk about whatever you want, dude.
I want to keep going.
Listen, I can spit off.
I think we're done with the Jersey Shore interrogation,
yeah, sure.
Perhaps. But
all right, so can we get back to the
the porn stars?
Yeah, like the balance between. Marriage and regular.
I will say, like, I've been in both relationships with people within porn and without, and it's actually easier with someone who's not in porn. Because, like for example...
I just can't believe that.
I mean,
I
like...
I refuse to believe that.
I mean, like,
maybe
Tony,
you,
of course,
but...
has a certain mindset, and he's okay with me working. But, like, at the end of the day, I'm fucking his friends, you know? And
that's true.
That's not always the easiest for any man, I think.
But what I heard once was that... and this was on some, like, Showtime show, and it was... this situation we're talking about, and the female porn star said, when I go to work, it's like a sport. And I can see that, because they don't enjoy it. I mean, I'm sorry to speak for
we
you.
We come from all different walks of life.
Oh, God.
I mean, like, I think there's a... it's the perfect job for a certain kind of person, that person being myself, but...
I'm just the perfect porn star.
For everyone else,
deal.
It sucks. No, I mean, like, to me, porn is my fantasy. Like, when I go to work, it's like... to me, it's my fantasy sex. It's like what anal is to most other people. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like the Valentine's Day sex for me.
It's perfect. Yeah. I wish. Yeah. I love women like that.
Yeah.
But I couldn't. Like, just be okay right now. I'm not, maybe it's my own insecurity.
Dude, I don't care
That's
who
normal,
you are
though.
For the long,
yeah.
Until the end of time, there's no way you're gonna be fully okay with
it. I always say, like, I wish they were like, you watch Westworld?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wish, like, they were like Westworld, like robots can, like, gangbang my wife. Because, like,
so hot.
Because, like, they're not real. You know what I mean? So I can, like,
the stakes it's a low
so
stakes gangbang.
That is like a gangbang with sex toys.
You're right. Why do people use sex toys?
That's
because they want to imagine that girl getting fucked by another guy.
It's like it's just a sex toy with like a body around it.
Yeah,
that's all.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like robots.
So you're into that like cuck shit where you're just gonna watch your wife get
no,
banged
I wouldn't
by
do
five
it.
Robots.
Robots.
But like we're getting
robots.
There, dude. We're getting to that point in the world where there's gonna be sex robots. Are you gonna have like five or six in the closet and just be like, it's time?
It's
Let's go.
Time.
I'll be here in the
Listen,
corner.
You want to see your girl be. a dirty whore in the bedroom.
But isn't part
with
so how
me, else? I think.
What?
With I me, I think.
It only goes so far with you. What is she going to do? Like, oh, we're going to wear a wig today? Like, you know, it yeah. only goes so far. You need to
I don't
step
know if I
notch.
Need robots banging my wife, though.
Also,
I hear
I
where you're coming from.
I don't know that robots is enough. Because, like, isn't part
then
of it,
that's going to be, like, you know.
Part of it's, like, Rhea the
goes,
desire.
Right,
like,
yeah.
you want to see your wife being
it's
desired
wrong. You
by
see,
all.
No,
yeah, and degraded.
Like, wrong, you know? Like, it's wrong.
And
I'm
I don't think
up,
robots. Yeah.
The best part about it is
Vinny and Ma eat America.
also looks.
You're
like
a
most,
perfect
that's
man.
So hot.
Yeah, I mean, you guys.
No, I get along with like porn stars because they're just like me. I don't want to say like. I don't want to say like dudes. I don't want to say like dudes.
Why don't you like become a porn star, dude? It sounds like you want to be a porn
like,
star.
It sounds like you're heading
to be
down
perfectly
that
honest,
path.
It really sounds like that.
I don't know if I could. I could definitely like produce porn. I could definitely like, because I have a good like artistic vision for it.
It sounds like it. You got yeah. the robot gang bang plan out.
Which is what everyone looks for in a porno. Thank you very
much. I meant
artistic
like,
vision, not your asshole. Yeah.
Listen, your asshole could be artistic vision.
Oh, this guy's a schmoozer too.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
You know just how to get me.
It's getting hot in here.
I don't know if I would be able to. She's married, so I don't know if I'd be able to smash though like on camera or whatever.
It's very, you know. Very intimidating.
You,
most people cannot.
You can't smash
I mean,
on camera?
I couldn't. And also, those cameras were like in the ceiling and hidden.
Not
and
in your face.
Not in
the lights
yeah.
on.
Are you kidding me? Imagine some fucking old Jewish guy being like, come on, another take.
Let's
and
go.
I'm like, dude, like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I could do it.
You think
but,
you do it?
I think there's people that get off on it.
Sounds
and then
like.
There's, and then there's everyone else. So if that's not your specific fetish, if you're not like an
oh the cameras you mean
and
yeah.
want people watching you, then porn probably isn't for you.
That's a good
it's
assessment.
It's not really
yeah.
something like you get comfortable with.
Right,
it's
either
like
you're in or
either,
you're out.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I've been in situations where I thought a girl was like my dream girl, like cause I like big fat asses, right? Mm-hmm. I go to like a lot of ratchet strip clubs in like Queens or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Sue's Rendezvous in Mount Vernon. Sue's Rendezvous.
Sue's Rendezvous. Is that a good one?
I mean, it's a terrible one.
Are they ratchet?
Very.
In the best way.
Yeah,
asses?
The best ratchet.
The ass is
yes,
big.
And there's like C-section scars and all sorts of stuff. It's a real grimy spot.
Bullet hole.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But I've been in situations where like I've gotten that girl and then just like I just something wasn't right for me in that moment.
Wait, you're telling me the ratchet strippers were just not the
no.
ones for you?
Some of them it has been, but like other Shocking. Times like I've been, sex is like 90% mental, I feel. So if there's something off with it, like again, some guy watching me or whatever, or I know it's not. I don't like knowing it's not real. That's why I'll never. I don't pay for it ever.
Oh, but that's the best when they go into it thinking it's not real and then making them think it's real. That's
like
my
a
favorite.
Conquest. Like
yes.
you turned it.
Oh my god!
I
my
would
favorite,
know. I would fuck. This is a challenge.
My favorite. My favorite is like when I overhear a girl in the makeup chair and she's like, "Oh, I don't really like chicks." I'm like, "Oh my god!
I'm gonna make you like chicks." I'm going to turn you right now.
I'm going to make you think you're in love with me.
But that's why I never got like a hooker because it doesn't do anything for me because it's mental. You know, like I'm getting the physical you, but you're not liking me or whatever. You
I've
know?
Never
you're
gotten
just...
a hooker because I would absolutely be the guy who gets caught with a hooker. I'd be like, it would be a sting.
I think
it would absolutely be a sting, and they'd like bust in with the cameras, and I'd be on my own blog the next morning. 100%.
Yeah,
no
you have
chance.
That luck.
That is my luck. Like the one time I decided I would definitely be on the front page.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's what stops me.
I don't do it. But maybe that's why I couldn't do porn, is what I'm saying. Because it's not like.
It sounds like you really could give it a good go, though, Vin.
Bro, listen, I got all the. That's like my. It's on the list.
In between.
It's on the list.
After mom.
Right now, you're doing a show with your mom.
Let's focus on the mom. Seriously, like, I'm about to be like the adult in this room. Like, focus with your mother right now. I like 10 minutes of KFC radio and I feel corrupted. Like,
listen, we're being adults here.
This is a very adult conversation, yeah. Rhea. You're the
you
one.
You sound
being
like
a child. Okay?
Yeah. Let's talk about our mom.
No. So wait. When does the show air?
Oh, they do. So this is weird, but they aired 6 episodes already,
okay.
And it was kind of quick. It was for 3 weeks, but on March 11th, we're doing a marathon of the show
okay.
at like 3:00. So please watch it because every time people tune in, that's their indication that they should order more episodes of
yeah.
it. So we're still in that mode of like, you know, but it had great ratings when it did it. So we're just getting the buzz out there.
Yeah, we basically did the same thing with Comedy Central. We did a 4-show special
that's
for the Super Bowl
yeah.
and we're like waiting to hear.
And it kind of
so
sucks for you because when you tell people, you're like, oh,
am I? Am I not?
Yeah,
yeah it's a tough spot, yeah. but I feel like you do good work. So I have high hopes
oh,
for you.
Thank
so
you. Thank
watch
you.
It.
It's a listen. I sell TV shows. That's not like I pitch TV shows and try to sell them in comedy and stuff. That's I'm gonna keep pursuing that. Like the Food Channel thing is a side project. It's great, you know. It's so
That's, right, like you said, it's just before the porn star career.
Before, it's one step before the porn star
when
career.
People ask you what you do, what do you say? Like, how do you describe yourself?
Who asks me that? I mean, one time I got a funny, like, Instagram or a tweet or something from a guy that was like, so, like, what's your day job now? Or, you know, is it just doing the show with your mom and podcasting? And I'm like, that's not enough for
right.
you? Like, you need
I
me to
that.
Go work
so
and
what,
fucking...
My favorite has always been... you're a blogger. Do you get paid for that?
Yeah. Like,
but yeah, I
no,
think
seriously,
like,
dude,
we're
no.
kind of in a similar situation. No, yeah, like I never know what to say. When people are like, what do you do at Barstool? I'm like, I'm a full-time employee.
I just work there. It's my place of employment. Stop fucking asking questions. It's the thing I do on the side from porn, just like Vinny and his travel show.
I say I'm a TV personality, so.
Oh,
there you
no,
go. That's a catch-all. That's good. Yeah. Gets it all. Sure. All right, so it's March 11th on the Food Network, Food Channel. Check your
no,
boy out.
Cooking channel. You just mixed them up, yeah.
My bad.
It's all right.
With your boy and his mom going around eating that calamod and the gabagool
and
the capicola.
And bugs and bugs.
Yeah, and bugs and testicles. Yeah. All sorts of weird shit.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Ass is back.
Look at that. What do you yeah. know? Ears perked up. Eating testicles? Yeah. What? I'm back in.
It's another Tuesday for me.
All right, dude. Well, if you want to come on next and plug your porn star career, the door is always open.
All right.
Thanks
we'll
for
do my first
on,
one in the office. Right,
I mean,
later.
We could. Me and Rhea can step out right now.
Yeah,
I got the camera rolling.
Got the cameras on?
Yeah, cool. I think we might have some robots in the closet. We could really make this happen. I don't know. All right, man. Thank
Bring
you very much.
Bring the chinchilla. All right, bye.
Bring the chinchilla. Okie dokie. So, there you go, man. Things we learned about Vinny. He wants Westworld robots to gangbang his girlfriend.
It's a decent option.
Is it? Is it, though? It's a weird thing to say, huh? Like, I feel like I am pretty much numb to saying anything on radio. Sometimes I'm like, you know, I'll have these brief moments where I revert back to like a pre-Barstool person and I'm like, you know, maybe it's a little embarrassing that you talk about these things publicly. Like, maybe it is really like you're embarrassing your family and you really shouldn't be saying these things. And then I always think to myself, you know what? This is actually what people like to hear. This is what people want to hear. Like, it. There's a reason why stupidity and, like, shock value seem to always kind of go viral or grab people because you don't get that in your everyday life. So, fuck it. So, I've heard it all. And I basically embrace it all. Some of that shit Vinny was saying, I was like, this is weird.
I'll tell you what. I'm a huge fan of Westworld. I watched Westworld. I thought about all sorts of things that
Never
could be done with that.
Thought about them banging
one
your wife.
Did not.
Certainly not five of them. Certainly not five of them.
It's like, you know, you just want your wife to be a dirty whore.
It's like, you know, theoretically, in some instance, I understand where you're coming from, but that's not really what you look for in a wife. Kind of the opposite.
Kinda.
I mean, the guy, you know, he can talk about cooking with his mom and then talk about...
Versatile.
Porn stars he's banging. I don't know. I don't know. The interview in this episode was brought to you by DraftKings.com. This is funny. A little look behind the curtain here. The DraftKings copy that they provide for me says, Tiger Woods is back! Yeah. Is he, though? Is he, DraftKings? He's absolutely not back. But DraftKings Golf, one-week fantasy golf, is back. And, you know, as long as you're not a Tiger dick rider, you can still enjoy your fantasy golf. What you do is you draft six players and you treat it like a team. So it's team performance with the six guys that you draft. And the best part is that tournaments obviously start on Thursday. So you draft your team Thursday morning. So you have some vested interest in the entire tournament until Sunday. You have 4 days of not only winning money, but, you know, enjoying golf more, having more of a competitive edge to it, wanting to watch it, having a reason to enjoy it. So one-week fantasy golf is that new hotness in the streets. On top of it, of course, they have baseball, they have the NHL, they have NBA, they got MMA, soccer, whatever it is, DraftKings has you covered. But golf right now is that new hotness for the spring season. Like I said, tournaments begin Thursday morning, so make sure you draft your teams ahead of time. Go to DraftKings.com now. Use the promo code KFC to play for free this week. That's promo code KFC to play for free in your share of $10,000 in total prizes. Only at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Catch you next week. We're out.